I do want to say at the beginning, we, as our your shepherds, we had designated Randy to be the spokesman for us during this period of time to share, grow, serve, and connect period of time. Randy is at home with the flu, so I have to fill in this morning in his place. We hope that he gets to feeling a lot better. Our prayers are with him. Today we continue studying the components of our vision statement, which is to make and mature disciples of Christ who connect, grow, serve, and share with each other and with the community. Now the lessons are focused on our desire to mature as disciples of Jesus, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, which is found in Ephesians, the 4th chapter and the 13th verse. Now, as your shepherds, we have spent a lot of time in prayer on this topic. We are committed to being the shepherds that Jesus speaks about in John 10. So it is not something that we have flippantly thrown out. The four action-oriented words in our vision statement, they are biblically based. They are representative of the life of Jesus Christ. Connect, grow, serve, share, represent the core values or principles that help us to focus on our relationship with Jesus and with one another. We all have to be reminded every once in a while of things that we have learned in times past. Most everything with the connect, grow, serve, share are things that we are familiar with. But we have to be reminded of that. And that's what we're doing here, challenging us to grow better, serve better, connect better, and to share better. As we think about the discipleship path, our challenge to become more like Jesus, I think of the words of that old hymn that goes, "I'm pressing on the upward way." And that's exactly what we're doing. We're pressing on. We're having to go step by step upward. Hopefully, every one of us. Over the past 2 weeks, we have studied the importance of connecting with God or becoming a disciple. The first step in connecting is to become a disciple of Jesus. We give him our life. We're baptized into him. We become a part of his church. We commit our life to him to live for him. And we've also discussed the need to connect with each other in fellowship. Paul wrote about this idea in Ephesians 4, verses 15 and 16, where he emphasizes our connection to one another and then our connection to Christ as the head. But today we're going to turn to the second component, grow. God created man in his image, Genesis 1 tells us. When he created us, we are created in the image of God. That means that each one of us are image bearers of God. God created us to flourish and to grow into the image of Jesus Christ. That's what he wants us to do. Now, it is the psalmist wrote in Psalm 92, verses 12 and 13, "The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God." We need to grow and flourish like the palm tree or like the cedars of Lebanon, as he tells us here. And it is our connection to God. When we have connected to God, That ignites our hunger to want to grow in Jesus Christ. When we connect to God and when we worship God, how do you feel this morning after that great song service? Does it make you want to grow in Jesus Christ? Does it make you want to listen as Andy shares with us from the Word and how I can take that and apply that to my life? A hunger for God through His Word and through His people. A hunger not based on fear, but based on love for God and love for our fellow man. Matthew 5:6 tells us, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." But I have to be hungry before I'm filled. If I'm filled with myself, am I hungry for God? No. We are challenged to grow in truth also. That comes from spending time in the Word and study, both individual and Bible classes. Making time to study topics that challenge us to grow. And hopefully that's what we're going to do as we look, try to do classes that will challenge you to expand and to grow in knowledge. But the Scripture also shows that we are to be challenged to grow in spirit, to grow spiritually in maturing faith. I can have a head full of knowledge, but if I never take that knowledge and apply it to my life, what benefit is that knowledge? It is nil. So we grow in the Word, in knowledge. We grow in truth, in applying that truth to our lives spiritually to grow us mature. By growing in knowledge and spirit, we glorify God. And why are we here? We are here to glorify God. Today in our small group discussions, we will explore the topic of growth. Your discussions will be on what you need to grow in knowledge and things that are obstacles to prevent you from growing in knowledge. Your ideas and your feedback are very, very, very important to the elders. Those ideas that have been shared with us thus far, every one of us have every one of those ideas and we have gone through them. Please keep them coming, and thank you for your ideas thus far. We as your shepherds recognize the need to lead. We recognize the need to be connected, to grow, and to provide opportunities for growth. We ask for your prayers. We're not perfect men by any means, but you will find no one here who loves you anymore, who loves this church anymore, and who loves Jesus Christ anymore than those 10 men there. We spend time praying for you because it is an opportunity to be a shepherd, but it is also a responsibility. Our prayer for you is this. God, may God bless each of you individually. May God bless the church here at Maryville and the church worldwide. And all of God's people said, Amen.
Hi, you've reached Errol the Rockin' Jones. Please leave a message of sorts after the beep. And again, wait for the tone before you leave your message.
I've now not finished a 100-miler in 3 years, and I'm very unhappy about that. I've got a 100-miler coming up, which I hope to be my redemption run because I need it. I've got to finish it to know that I still have it.
We good? Okay, thank you. I want to start this morning just by telling you a story. I love my kids. My kids do great and wonderful and funny things. And I know a lot of times when I get the opportunity to talk, a lot of times I start with my kids because that's my life right now. So we took Eden to see my grandparents, her great-grandparents in Acton, Tennessee, a small town just across the border from Corinth, Mississippi, if any of you are familiar with West Tennessee. So Acton, Tennessee is just this map dot. And we go to see my grandparents, her great-grandparents, and we pull into the driveway. Eden springs from the car, runs up the steps, and jumps into my grandfather's arms, her papa. Well, papa goes and takes her to his chair, and they sit together, and he looks at her and he said, "Eden, look at how you've grown since the last time I've seen you." And Eden sizes him up and down. She looks at him for a long time, and she says, "Papa, have you grown?" And he said, "Sweetheart, I stopped growing taller a long time ago. The only way I grow now is wider." And Eden poked his belly and they had a good laugh. But one of the things that I've thought about in preparing for this lesson is that statement, "I stopped growing a long time ago." Now, for a lot of us, maybe we feel that way spiritually. Maybe we feel like we have stopped growing either a month ago, 3 months ago, maybe 30 years ago, but maybe we have grown stagnant in our faith. That we could say the same thing my grandfather did about his height, about our own spiritual life, that we have stopped growing a long time ago. Here's the thing, I don't think that we have stopped growing. Maybe we have stopped growing spiritually, but I don't think we have stopped growing in general, because I think we have kept growing and we have grown tired and we have grown frustrated. And we have grown apathetic, and we have grown lustful, and we have grown pride-filled, and we have grown angry. We have not grown vertically, we have grown horizontally. We have looked at the world, and we have bought into what the world is saying. We have bought into the world's problems. We have bought into the world's issues, and because we have bought into that, and because we are growing horizontally and not vertically, we have grown in all of those ways. In John 8, which Josh read for us earlier, verse 31 and 32, we find Jesus talking to a group of people much like us, people who had grown but grown negatively. They had grown hard and bitter, following back-breaking laws that stripped the joy out of their spiritual lives. And Jesus looks to these people and says, "If you believe my words, if you believe what I am saying, if you take these on as my disciple and hold to them, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." When we think about growth, when we think about what the next step is for us from connection to growth, we see these two words, truth and freedom. Truth and freedom. But what do truth and freedom really look like, and how do we recapture a vision for true growth when for so long we have grown in the wrong direction? As we think about this question, why don't we take a walk down the road to Jerusalem? Come with me on the road to Jerusalem. The words of Jesus are still echoing in our ears when someone runs up to us and announces, "He is coming. Hurry, grab a palm branch. Drop your coat. The Messiah is coming." We grab a palm branch. We lay it on the ground. And before you know it, everyone is chanting, "Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King." In John 12, just a couple chapters later, we have walked down the road with Jesus. We now stand on the road to Jerusalem as Jesus, the Messiah, is coming down the road, and we realize what truth and freedom is. It comes from this man. If we want growth, we must follow this man. We must be connected to this man. And so we follow him into Jerusalem, and we follow him all the way in. And as he is going, he stops and starts to speak, and he speaks about his own death. When he talks about following him, when he talks about growth, he starts with death. And I'm puzzled by that. Look at John 12 with me. John 12 and verses 23 through 26. John 12, 23 through 26. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Those who love their life will lose it, while those who hate their lives in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." The truth is, we must die to live. The truth is, we must die to grow. And that's really difficult for me. That's really difficult for me to process, that I have to leave the branch, that I cannot stay plugged into the branch, that I have to fall to the ground, that I have to die for anything else to spring up. For so long, so many of us have been feeding from the branch. So many of us have not fully died to the things of this world. We have not fully given ourselves to Christ. Here's the problem with so many of us, because I know it's the problem with me, and so I hope I'm not just preaching to myself this morning. So many of us have read Scripture. So many of us have seen what we are supposed to deny ourselves. We are supposed to deny ourselves the sin and the worldly pleasures of the world. We're supposed to deny ourselves the things that have come up into our life that we have wanted to chase and follow. And for many of us, we have. We have taken on Christ. We have been baptized. We have followed Him. And we have denied certain things in our lives. But how many of us have truly died? And that's the problem, is that we have denied things, but we have not died to things. And so for so many of us, we have not been able to grow because we have never actually died. We've just denied. And so we find ourselves in a situation where we think about my grandfather's statement, and we think about spiritually, have we grown in a long time? We have put up walls, we have put down roots, and we have grown fearful. We have grown comfortable. We have grown settled. We have grown stable. We have grown cautious. We have grown calculated. And we have grown sure of ourselves. But we have not grown closer to Him. As a church family, what do we need to die to so that we may grow? And this is what we have to wrestle with today in our small groups and for the next week. And as we pursue this vision statement, this discipleship path, what is it that we will have to congregationally, as a church as a whole in Maryville, Tennessee, die to so that we must grow? And also individually, what are we as members going to have to die to so that we can finally break out of this spiritual stagnation, that we can actually grow, that we can find fertile soil, that we can find a confession that we can believe in, that we can pursue Christ in our growth? As a church member, what will you have to die to grow? As we are gathered here on this Palm Sunday, remembering the triumphal entry of Jesus in the week leading up to His death, burial, and resurrection, we wrestle with the idea of what it means to grow in Him. How will you grow? Do you need prayers? Do you need to meet Him in the waters of baptism? What is your next step in the discipleship path? What I want us to do in just a second is I want us to stand as a congregation. Just wait just a second. This week I wanted to find a way to unite us, to bring us all together as a congregation as we pursue this commitment to grow. So that what I want us to do is I want us to stand and read the words of John 12. I want us to stand on the road. I want us to see the palm branches on the ground. I want us to see the coats on the ground. I want us to see the coming Messiah. And I want that to be the fertile ground. I want that to be where we plant. I want that to be the confession that we make, that King Jesus has come, that we will serve Him, that He is blessed, and we want to follow Him. And that our growth will come from and through that confession. That we can start there united as a congregation by saying these words. And from this point, we can grow onward to serve and to share. So if you would go ahead and bring up that slide. And if we would as a congregation, please stand. What we'll do is I will read the white words. And as we get to the yellow words, if you would read those with me. Herb, if you'll be ready, we'll sing the song as soon as we are done with this. So if you guys would do this with me, I want to offer the invitation to any of you who have a need, that you feel like you've been stagnant and you have not grown, that you need to meet Christ in baptism so that you can connect, that you can grow, that you can serve, that you can share, that you can become a part of this thriving congregation of a church family that loves you and will be there for you. If you are a member of this church family, a member of Christ, and you need to come forward and you need the prayers of our congregation because you know your faith has been stagnant, we invite you forward as we sing the song after we read these words together. Let these words be a confession from us to our God, and let this be the confession we grow out of, that we look to the coming Messiah and confess our belief in Him and grow out of that belief. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on His way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet Him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel."